an hour than usual. You're fired up. It is the final morning show with Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis before you go to New York. Do you have a new name for your new show?
Man, we're going to release that at some point with the press. I was informed by the powers that be that there's certain things that they don't want unleashed until we do it all together. So
unleashed. Oh Jesus.
Unleashed.
Oh, dangerous. Is it called Key and the Shawns?
Man, I'm just following the rules of the people above me. My pay grade ain't quite there. You know, I didn't put it this way. At the end of the day, I'm still part of the Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis show. And, you know, that's what it's going to be. I don't know any other way to put it.
We might just replay some stuff.
I'm taking a lot of stuff. I'm taking a lot of stuff with me, though. 11 like is what? 11
we
gone.
Negotiate.
Man, 11 is 11 is gone. Take it or shake it. I didn't have told y'all. My cooking is gone. Oh, that's gone.
You can take it.
No.
Are you going to use it?
We're rebranding the cooking. You know, it's going to be Chef Boyard Z.
Yeah, but Chef Boyard Z ain't going to be the same because I've already patented that. And I already, so when you try to skim a little bit off and make it sound like it ain't me, it's all you. I got you for that. Yeah, I'll sue 710 ESPN. I'll sue your ass for copyright infringement. And then I'll name Travis in the lawsuit, Jorge and Raj in the lawsuit for being a part of it. And that's it.
You see, no. You got
Tim and Amanda. I'm going to name all of them.
I'm going to say cooking with LZ. You got McDonald's. I got McDonald's. You got the sesame seeds. See, that's how I'm going to work it. I'm just going to fudge a little bit here, fudge a little bit there. You won't even know. Plus, I'm not getting my contract.
I got some people that's employed that know how to take care of all of those type of things when you start to do that.
We got Carl Douglas. We got Carl Douglas on our side.
That's right. He'll defend us. Do we have any sort of salary cap on our dinner tomorrow night, or can we go big?
Oh man, no, I'm gonna be the Patrick Mahomes of dinner.
Patrick
Mahomes of dinner. Listen,
I done already said we switching up the happy hour.
Because the first thing I'm doing is I'm asking to see a wine list, and I'm starting at the bottom, and I'm working my way up. Those ones at the bottom that have a comma key, I'm gonna be looking at those.
Travis, all my wine selections go say things like select and reserve. I'm not doing nothing without the word select.
I'm starting my fasting right now. I'm not.
Yeah, y'all should get dinner. Y'all should get there right at 6 o'clock too. Y'all should get there at 6 right on time. And let me know how it is when the dinner's over with.
I'm gonna get there early. You can put it on Mr. Johnson's tab. It's gonna happen.
Mr. Johnson. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey man, it's good. It's gonna be lovely. You know, you guys again, as I said at the top of the show. I wouldn't be able to pull this off if it wasn't for a great team of you guys, meaning Jorge, Chris, LZ, Travis, for a short period of time there, George, Sedano. Raj didn't really participate. He was screwing things up along the way. But
I'm just here to look cute.
I couldn't
You're not doing that well.
Been put in this position if I didn't show my talents and y'all didn't help me bring out my talents to make the eyeballs back east wake up and realize that they had something special out here in L.A. So, you know, with that being said, you guys, again, if it wasn't for y'all being a part of this show with me, I wouldn't be able to take my talents and move to the national show, which, you know, is going to be interesting because, you know, it's going to be a lot of haters. And there's a lot of dudes that wish they was put in that position. And as I told somebody the other day, and I tell y'all, I've been fighting hate my whole life on things that I've done. Whether it's he can't do this as a football player, he can't do that. Oh, he's going to be bad in TV. Oh, even John Ireland started hating the first time I took the job. Oh, Key's going to be gone and did
multiple ejections.
He started hating. And then 4 years later, he's like, well, I was wrong. And that's the way you want it to be. You want people to get in the way so you can jump right over them. And that has happened to me. Now I move on to not necessarily a better show, but a bigger show. You know, just a national show. So I'm going to still be heard on 710 in the mornings. And it'll be fun.
We'll still bother you.
It's going to be outstanding.
Man, we still going golfing in Shady. Don't forget. I haven't forgotten. So well, I'll still be around.
Neither have I. I'll make sure that we get that done. Well, you will be missed for sure. But like you said, you're still going to be on the station, and people will get to hear you. And I'm going to bother you. LZ's going to bother you. We're all going to bother you and make sure that you're part of whatever we put together.
I'll be heard on the station. I'll be seen on ESPN television. I'll be seen on NFL Live on TV, you know, talking football. And so it'll be fun. I'm excited. I'm mad. You know what I'm mad about, though? I'm mad that I'm dealing with a damn pandemic. And the reason I'm mad about that is because I don't get a chance to enjoy going to the games, you know, because I like going to games. Like, I can't go to the Knicks games, and I can't go to the Nets games when the Lakers come to town. I'm not going to be able to go watch the Jets and Giants play, the Yankees play, the Red Sox. I mean, that's the bummer part about all this. It's like right when I get ready to make a move, I can't enjoy the Broadway theater, the plays. I won't be able to enjoy any of that right now.
It'll come back. I mean, it's like you're right for sure that it sucks right now, but that stuff, it'll be back. It may be a little bit different, but it's going to be back ultimately. So we're going to enjoy our last couple hours here before you check us out, Key. The Dodgers released a video last night that I thought was fantastic. It features a number of their players: Cody Bellinger, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Kike Hernandez, Gavin Lux, Jock Peterson, AJ Pollock, Ross Stripling, Justin Turner, and Alex Wood, all putting together this message about what they want to do moving forward in the social justice movement.
Communities lived in a different America. Instead of addressing racism, inequality, and injustice, many of us just look away.
We ignore the school-to-prison pipeline that criminalizes Black children instead of connecting them to opportunities.
It's easy to say racism is the thing of the past.
But it's not, especially when Black people don't enjoy the full protections afforded by the Constitution. As proud Americans, how much longer can we avoid an honest look in the mirror? Equality is at bat. Together, we must learn and grow.
We don't know the exact answers,
but we are committed to working, listening, and amplifying Black voices to be a part of the solution.
There are organizations on the ground fighting for resources that the Black community deserves, and we're here to support them.
It's up to each and every one of us. We can't just look away because it's uncomfortable.
Loving this country means admitting it's not the same for us all.
Silence is no longer an option. I'm fighting for my teammates and their families and their communities. And that is why we must unapologetically say that Black lives matter.
Quality is a team sport. The players of the Los Angeles Dodgers are committed to amplifying the voices of Black leaders and organizations who are on the ground fighting for equality. By matching fundraised from the In This Together t-shirts, we will proudly support the California Funders for Boys and Men of Color.
So that was Clayton Kershaw there at the end as well. And I hope the other 29 teams in Major League Baseball are taking notice, because that's how you do that. That is how you put together a message and get the right guys to send the right message and have it be authentic and sincere.
It's just, again, as I say, I don't know if I'm a Dodger fan, just an L.A. guy. So no matter what they do, I'm alike. I don't know if that's it, but I can tell you right now, that registers with me, period. Like, that's real. Like, I don't feel like they were forced to do it and had their arms twisted to do it, and they're just doing it because right now that's the thing to do. Let's not have people look at us sideways when we walk in and driving down the street. It doesn't feel like that. It feel like, you know what, man? This is the right thing for us to do because we want to do it. This is how I really feel. And for whatever reasons in the past that Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, or even those players wasn't speaking out or saying certain things, and now that they are, it makes you feel a whole lot better about not only the Dodgers, but who those individual players are. You learn something about them. It's like it was in them to begin with. It needed to just be pulled out.
If you want a reason to be proud of this franchise, there are 1,001 reasons to be proud. But I would tell you, based upon all the conversations I've had over the last few weeks, specifically with members of the Dodgers team, both in terms of the roster as well as team executives, all the way up to the owner, they get it. They get it, man. It's, that video is not out there so they can look good. The video is out there because they're giving you a heads up. We're about to roll our sleeves up and really get involved in meaningful ways in our community to make things better for everyone. I'm talking from my conversation with Kershaw up to Peter Guber to Lon Rosen, Magic, you know, JT, like men that I've spoken to. I'm telling you, listeners, the Dodgers get it. And if you're a Dodger fan or not, you should just be very proud to have this franchise.
Multiple ejections.
So they understand what's going on. They completely understand what's going on. And, oh, by the way, it's not just the Dodgers. You know, I've had several conversations with like Les Snead with the Rams. And talk about woke. Les was bringing some stuff down to me. I was like, oh, hold up now, man. Get back in your lane now. Hold up now. Because he's sitting up there to me wearing a Bubba Wallace jersey on, going this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. There are a lot of people in powerful positions in sports in this city who get it and who are willing to roll up their sleeves and do something, and it's a really proud moment in the city because of that.
Well, it is, LZ. And like you said, it's not just the Dodgers in Los Angeles. You mentioned Les Snead and the Rams. It is just the Dodgers in Major League Baseball. That's part of the problem, right? That we've seen the NBA be very active here. We've seen the NFL try to be active to varying degrees of success. With baseball, we've basically seen nothing, you know, other than a few statements here or there that, you know, almost everybody has said along the way that the Dodgers are alone in this space. The Dodgers really are the first team. And hopefully that's right, that it's the first team to do something like this as opposed to the only team. But at this point, baseball is so far behind these other teams. Like, every time we turn on an MLS game, I know we have our TVs on and this tournament is going on down in Orlando. They're starting the game and virtually every player is on one knee wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. We know that the NBA is going to be active. The WNBA is active. We'll see what it looks like in the NFL when they play. Baseball's nowhere. One guy took a knee a couple of years ago, Bruce Maxwell, and he got run out of baseball. And I know that won't happen again because people will be looking. But no one else is doing what the Dodgers just did in that sport. They're alone in this, in that regard.
Well, I mean, think about how the ownership group has handled all of this during the pandemic. You know, when you talk about why weren't you already up and running but before the 4th of July? What happened to the bubble? What's going on with the test? Why are players complaining they haven't gotten their results yet, but the camps are open? Like, they fumbled and bumbled a lot since March. Part of that has to do with the fact that there's a lack of trust between ownership and players. And it's just been historically like that. But I think there's also the element of just who makes up baseball as far as the players and what are their sensibilities and what are their backgrounds. And we know about the lack of African-Americans in the sport. And now that you need not that you need a Black person present in order to get involved, you don't, but it certainly helps. And so when you understand that even the Dodgers had a roster without a single African-American player on it last season, so that means that voice isn't there and that visual isn't there, you can see why they may not necessarily be as active in this conversation as, say, the NBA and then, you know, obviously NFL.
Well, in the Dodgers, though, as a whole, when you think about it, they do got Magic Johnson over there as well. You know, and they got the L.A. Basin. So we always are the forefront of a lot of things that go on in American society.
All right, speaking of the MLS, we're going to go back inside the bubble. It is time for another edition of the Mac Show. Mark Anthony Kay joins us from Orlando. That's coming up next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Woo-woo!
All right, the second edition of the Mac Show. Joining us again from Orlando, LAFC midfielder Mark Anthony Kay. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? I'm good. Can't complain. Just got tested, so my nose is a little fuzzy right now, but everything's good.
How often,
is the
Mac,
left nostril
get
bigger than the right? Oh, go ahead, keep
no.
I was going to say, how often do you guys get tested in the bubble?
We get tested every other day, and then we get tested. It'll be 2 days in a row leading up to the game.
Man.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's kind of...
So it's funny because we, as you're going in, people will be coming out telling you, like, which table to go to. Be like, number five today, you know? So we're all trying to help each other out and get the best testers. So your nose...
Yeah, I'm sure some of them are shoving it too far up people's nose, and they don't like that feeling.
Of course. And you can't really say much, you know what I mean? Because they know this procedure more than you do. But it's been all right. We're getting used to it.
Well, that's good. Well...
I've noticed, you know, I've been watching the tournament, and I know that, you know, you guys are in fantastic shape, and you're obviously a professional athlete, but the conditions in terms of the humidity in Orlando looks absolutely miserable. How are you guys managing that?
So luckily for us, we train at night, so it usually cools off by the time we get on the field, which is really nice, and so far all our games are going to be at nighttime. So the temperature is not too bad. I couldn't imagine playing a game at 9 or 10 in the morning. You know, it's just like a wet, hot blanket wrapping around you. But for the most part, we've been lucky with the schedule. So we enjoy the cooler temperature of the day.
Now, what was it like being back out there for the first time in a while? You guys had your match last week against Houston, a 3-3 draw. Was there any rust to knock off? I know you guys are training. I know you guys are physically fit, but did it take a minute to kind of find the rhythm of the game again?
I think it was just it was a matter of time before we started clicking. I think, you know, going into the game, you don't know how the other team is going to play, and I think – maybe they caught us off guard a little bit. You know, when I look back at the first half, it didn't look too bad. There wasn't that many transitional moments for them to counterattack us. But you know, we need to figure out how to shore up in the back, because if you look at our last game against Philly, we had let in 3 goals too, and that's not really the LAFC everyone wants to see, and that's not the LAFC we want to be a part of. So knowing that we can score 3 goals is always a positive, but I think that rust was definitely there for the first three
goals. In other words, this weekend, Saturday, y'all got the LA Galaxy, and they sitting right now at 0 on the point scale in Group F with 0 points. Is this match going to feel – how much difference will it feel from being here in LA playing against them?
Yeah, it's definitely going to feel a little bit different because you can't replicate the environment that's created by, you know, the supporters and the stadiums and, you know, the media fanfare before a game like that. But I think in turn it'll actually benefit us because, you know, you look at Galaxy in the last couple of years, they feed off of this rivalry where they got to create these billboards next to our stadium. They got to say this in the media. They got to say that. And now they can't really do that. You know what I mean? So we're ready. We want to win every game. And the fact that it's against the Galaxy, you know, it's a great opportunity to get 3 points. So we're excited. But it will be a little different in the sense of surrounding intensity.
You know, speaking of your rivalry with the Galaxy, do you feel like you guys run this town now? Do you feel like that? Or are you still are you still a little brother?
No. They're holding on. They're holding on to what they have left. You know what I mean? The fact that they have to keep
talking stuff, man. Talk some junk then. Put your chest out a little bit. Come on now.
Yeah, the fact that they have to keep bringing up their 5 championships. Like, I was in high school when that happened or something. You know what I mean? it's tough. You know, we gotta focus on the present and the future now. So, for them, I think they're really holding on. And I got a little backlash the last time I said that from their supporters. But I think it's the honest truth. So, we're here. I think LA is our city.
Do you think the Galaxy feel the same now that they don't have Zlatan, but they got
Chicharito.
Yeah, that.
For sure. There's no way they have the same mentality about everything. You know, I think when you have a guy like Zlatan on the field, he can change everything for you. I think they're still trying to figure out playing with this kind of style they have with Chicharito, but they're not stupid people. They understand where they stand in the position they are in with us. So I'm not surprised that they're a little fearful.
So now you feel good that Zlatan's not there because he handed it to y'all a couple times, huh?
Yeah, like it, It's not that I feel better. You know what I mean? He was kind of more annoying off the field than he was on the field. But
there you go.
You know, that's a great person to play against. And that was a great opportunity to have. And now it's like we can actually focus on the other players on the field, the other 21 players on the field. Sometimes it was just all about him. And, you know, there's some good players on the field and they don't get the recognition.
Mark Anthony K, LAFC midfielder, joining us from Orlando.
So you're deeper into the bubble. Has the boredom set in? Is there a routine? Are you getting through it better than you might expected? What's it like now, another week into being on site, not being able to leave?
Yeah, you know, I think the boredom is there, obviously, but the days go by pretty quickly. The fact that we train at night, you know, it's crazy how much stuff you can just find to waste your time until training time. And then next, you know, once you're done training, it's like, you know, you're getting ready to go to sleep. So, I think guys are getting in a good routine. I haven't spoken to a lot of them on what their individual routines are, but me, I just like, you know, wake up. If there's a game on, try and watch a game, you know, call my girlfriend, do some yoga, go to like the gym, like just try to keep the day moving so it gets a little bit easier so that by 7 p.m. I'm not like, oh my God, I haven't done anything. So it's getting more palatable and we're just, we're trying to push through it.
One of the cool things is watching you not just grow as a player, but grow as a leader as well. An opportunity to be the captain. Can you talk a little bit about your transition in terms of just your role and your voice in the locker room?
Yeah. So obviously my first year, you know, coming into a new situation, I wanted to absorb as much experience as possible from the players around me. You know, then obviously I have the bad injury. Then I go into my second year and Bob has a conversation with me where he wants me to be a leader, you know, and that was a really good moment for me to have someone of his stature ask me to do something like that. That requires a lot of responsibility. And, you know, you look at the year we had last year, it was great. And I felt like I was coming more into myself and having a bigger presence within the locker room and on the field as a leader. So that was nice. And, you know, even coming out of this quarantine situation, I just knew that a lot of people we're going to need to be motivated. And, you know, it was a difficult time. And I just wanted to support all my teammates as much as possible. And I think, you know, the coaching staff realized that with individual training sessions, trying to push each other and stuff like that. And I guess in the end, I was rewarded the captain's armband. But it's just understanding how to be a good person to the people you're around, you know, and how to really take the time to listen to what people have to say. Because I think I've done a good job of having a good connection with all my teammates. And, you know, if that's the reward of having that and getting captain's armband, it's great, but it doesn't change the way I interact with them on a daily basis. If anything, it just gives me more responsibility and I want to take care of all of them even more.
You know, talking about your relationship with the teammates, and we were having this conversation earlier about the Lakers and the fact that they all get along well, and will that help them through this process of being in the bubble? Same for you guys, the fact that there's a connection amongst yourselves, does that translate to actual gameplay?
100%. I think if you enjoy who you're around all the time, the product is much better. You know what I mean? You feel like there's a deeper fight you're fighting for. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of, you know, a different demographic on our team and stuff. We have the Spanish players. We have, you know, guys from all over Europe. And I think it's just finding the right way to deal with everyone, you know. So even though that, yeah, they've made me captain, I lean on someone like Edward, who is someone who, like, can lead all of those other guys and connects on that level that I can't connect on. And that's, I think that's part of good leadership, is understanding when you need help in certain situations. So, yeah, we have a really good connection. And it's just a good group, fun young group of guys that are excited to push themselves to the next level.
Mark Anthony K, LAFC midfielder, joins us every single Friday for the Max Show. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for checking
out. Hold up, Travis. I got one more question.
Okay. Yeah.
Yo, do you guys have a snitch hotline with MLS, like the NBA? You got a snitch hotline?
We do. But I don't know.
Is that why your phone's cracking?
I don't even know the number, man, but it's there. I don't know who's going to use it, but
you don't know the number. There. You don't know the number. Is it programmed in your phone?
No, it's not programmed in our phone. No chance.
Mark Anthony snitch.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. Sniff, don't call the snitch line, and we will talk to you next week.
Woo-hoo! I'll just call your guys' lines.
Perfect. You can snitch to us. We'll take the call for sure. All right, we'll talk to you next week. All right, the Madden ratings are out, and guys are not pleased. One quarterback in particular. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Key, guys care about their Madden ratings, don't they? I know that you're a 94, that you're good, that you don't need to worry about it, but everyone else, at least the guys that feel that they've been disrespected, they are upset. Kyler Murray at the top of that list. He said, I thought y'all were joking when you hit me with a 77. He's mad, man.
Think about it, though. You balling, and you know you good. You know you're growing, and you good, and you like, okay, I've done some things. And then somebody tell you that you're not, and you looking at other people that's, you know, rated higher than you that you feel you better than, you're like, man, come on, man, seriously. Because what happens is these ratings give a perception in people's minds that this is the type of player you are, right? If somebody is paying you $50 million to run up and down the field, and then somebody else is paying another guy $2 million to run up and down the field, you're like, man, he ain't that good. Because the perception is the more money you make, that must mean you're good. And so when you start looking at all of those sort of things, you start to say to yourself, well, okay, they obviously don't think I'm good. You know, and you don't want people sitting around looking at you that way. You know, like, it affects the marketplace, your marketing. It affects all of that, believe it or not. When people start saying negative stuff, and it's not negative, but when people put negative things out there about you, it ultimately affects your bottom line. It really does. Now, all of a sudden, you're not perceived as one of the best players in the NFL because your rating is low.
Yeah, you know, listen, I understand that, you know, that can definitely have an impact about how people view you. But come on, man, it's a video game.
It's true, but people like you, LZ, will take that video game in that number 77 and start to compare it to other people's numbers that's higher and start to say, no, people like you in that journalist world that you live in.
Man, I am not taking my cues from no damn Madden football. I may take it from him.
So you're going to sit up here and tell me you're going to tell me that there aren't warm soda drinkers and cold hot dog eaters that don't sit around in press boxes looking at that stuff and then write about it.
Well, they write about it. But hold on. Maybe this is a little bit of a chicken and
inform,
egg.
The inform their opinion. Inform their opinion based on this type of garbage.
The reason we write about it is because guys react to it. If Kyler Murray's response was, dude, what do I care what some video game dudes think about my game? I don't care. I mean, then we'd move on. But it's when they react to the fact that it's a video game score, then it is interesting because we're intrigued by the fact that athletes care about it much more than the actual rating itself.
Yeah, but you're right about that though, Travis. But through my experience in dealing with the media as a player, they will take stuff and form an opinion based on the stuff that they may read or may have heard. It's like, it's not like anything, right? You could be a fantastic player and balling out. But the moment that somebody says, well, he can't do this, the first thing they start running with is he can't do that. That's what they do. And so players get sensitive of it because when you rate it low, the first thing people start saying is the view of you is that you're not a good player. That's the view. It's like, well, he's a 77. He's not as good as that dude that's an 89. And that's not true. But they will write that stuff and they will send that out into the universe.
Listen, I view it this way. And I'm going to go to the world that I know extremely well, the world of tennis. You can be ranked number one in the world, but ain't nobody still to this day, if you on the court, Serena Williams, picking that number one ranked player, regardless of where the hell Serena's ranked. And that's just the reality of that one particular sport. Just like with MVPs, you can go ahead and pick Charles and Karl Malone and anybody else you want. But everybody know Jordan was that dude. That was the way with Shaq. That was the way with LeBron. That's the way with Kobe. So I understand, once again, the tendency to put a whole lot of stock in something like a video game ranking. But to me, the real ones, we ain't even thinking about what Madden Football has to say about whether or not we want you as our QB, our running back, et cetera. Then, you know, it's fun and chit-chat, but if you're a serious football person, you ain't being guided by that.
Much less an executive.
But let me tell you something. People, not football teams, but people in that marketing world, them tennis shoe companies, they pay attention to that stuff. The Q ratings are important to them. They look at that sort of stuff and go, oh, well, you know, we may not want to invest in this. We may want to invest in that, even though that dude ain't good. They do. You think about it. Think about it this way. When Odell Beckham was rated high, the 90, whatever he was, 98, 99, whatever he was, and he was living in New York City, he was cracking, right, Raj? He was popping. The moment he got out of New York, and his play dipped slightly, not even severely, just slightly, and got on a bad team in a bad market, all of a sudden, he can't play no more. Now he's a 91 on the damn thing, and Amari Cooper is rated higher than him. That's all I'm saying. That's why you laugh, because you know I'm right.
Well, the thing, it matters more than it should to everybody, to what you're saying, Key, to the players themselves. It just seems that, and I understand it's popular and it's really fun to play, but that this is somehow tied to your direct worth as a football player seems a bit much. All right, well, Michael
really
Wilbon.
Hey, but wait, I really wasn't worried about it, because when I was in the 90s, I was in the 90s.
You weren't worried as long as you didn't have to be worried. Michael Wilbon joins us next. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, as promised, we are joined right now, the host of PTI. You see him all over ESPN. Michael Wilbon joining us on the morning.
Woo-hoo!
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How's doing this morning?
What up,
good,
man?
Good, good. Got a very important question for you, fine sir. Out of all the shows and movies that you've had a chance to watch over your years, which house was your favorite house?
Which house? I don't know that I'm understanding the question.
So, like, the Fresh Prince, his house that he lived in, Sanford, the house they lived in, the Jeffersons.
Oh,
who
man.
Had the dopest house?
No, the Jeffersons, even though it was moved on up, it was kind of, we didn't get the impression that it was palatial. You know, when I was a little kid and I thought their house was big, it would have been the Brady Bunch. That's too old for y'all.
No, it's not. We picked the Brady Bunch.
I guess I got to go, you Batman had a bat cave, but I'll go with Bel Air. I'll go with Fresh Prince's house.
Well, I had Dynasty.
Wait. In that case, you done opened up some more options. Okay, I gotta go with South Fork. I gotta go with Dallas and South Fork.
Oh, forgot about South Fork.
I like Dallas. But see, Dallas to me, I guess because I live there, Mike, and growing up in LA and seeing a big giant mansion. It was like crazy. So when I saw Dynasty, I'm like, okay, I got to get that. I didn't feel that way about Dallas because Dallas was out in the middle of nowhere. And I wasn't riding horses and messing around with no cows.
That's you know, the only way I would have had a staff and people working for me, though, Key, is if I was in South Fork. That would have been the only spot.
Yeah, well, you know, they had a staff at Dynasty. They had a staff at Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mr. Drummond had a staff at the Different Strokes Palace.
God, Mr. Drummond, Lord.
So you know, hey, you obviously are not in the bubble at all, Mike. And now, so you going down?
That's my intention.
Okay. Make sure you don't have that. Make sure no nobody snitch on you while you going down.
Yeah. No. No, I hope not. You know, it's interesting because people, I think, and I know you guys do realize this, but the NBA season, if it goes, you know, just say it goes as planned, this is a restart. The game 7 wouldn't be until October 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are in the bubble now, you know, like Malika Andrews doing all her reporting for the bubble, and Mark Spears, not to mention the players. Well, but only the guys who make it to the finals. Not, you know, most players won't be there that long. We're talking about months. And so I certainly like on the back end, and I don't mean end, I don't mean a few days. I mean covering the playoffs. And if you're going to cover them, to me, somebody at that organization, and I wouldn't be the only one, it's going to be relayed before I get there potentially. But I think you need to understand what it feels like. Because I think this is going to be the hardest thing. The two teams that make it to the end, the team that wins, I think this is going to be the hardest thing they've ever done. I really do.
So with that being said, you know, all the conversations about there's an asterisk and there's this, there's that. And then there's another side that says this is a championship and a half. You're leaning more towards the latter than the former. You think this is harder, not easier.
Oh, it's harder. It's harder. I understand. Asterisk doesn't mean bad. It means different. The definition of the word has come to mean something that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean bad. It means different. I mean, initially, and I know how it came to mean something that it seems bad because of the asterisk by Roger Maris's home runs, because he hit it 162 games and not, you know, 154 like Babe Ruth, and that's the first place in sports we used it. But it will. I mean, people are going to think of it as different. People are going to think of it as different until we get 20 years out when, as we see now, every generation doesn't even remember what happened in the past. So in 20 years, people born now, won't even have any idea what happened in 2020. It'll just seem like, you know, another point in history to them. So I do think you could put an asterisk by it, but I think it'll be the hardest thing that people have done. I mean, I talk to guys almost every day. I talk to somebody most days who's in the bubble. And it's hard, man. I mean, you're in isolation, and you are not with your routine. You are not doing the things that you associate. You know about this better than the rest of us because you've been through this. The routine you got yourself into to be at peak form, these guys don't know if they can have that. And the uncertainty that comes with it, man, it seems like the people who get to the end of this should just be given an ovation just because they made it to the end. And if we hadn't even talked about performance, and can you approximate the level of play you achieve before you went in, mid-season form in February.
See, Mike, Michael. I think that the players like LeBron and some of these, you know, superstar veterans, they haven't let up, even though it was a bit of a, you know, somewhat of a resting period for those 3 months. They still was active, getting as much work in as possible. That's why they all look in phenomenal shape.
I agree with you that they're in great shape, but are they in great basketball shape? Like I was listening to Bron. He kind of anticipated this. It's interesting, Key, that you bring that up. LeBron kind of anticipated it because you would think, okay, if you're 34, 35 years old, you got the mileage he's got. You would think, okay, this I hate to call it a rest, but this absence would work in his favor. And he was saying, no, because he knows what it takes to get himself fine-tuned for basketball in terms of timing. And I thought the same thing, so I heard him say that. I don't remember where he was when he said it or who he told it to, but I was like, wow. You know, for older guys, for veteran guys, we're talking about, I'm including now guys who are 28, 29 years old, like Kawhi, Chris Paul, because Oklahoma City, what they've done this season has been phenomenal. That's why Chris Paul's on my short list for MVP. Not because of numbers, but because of impact. And Chris is, what, 34, 35? I mean, it's like, okay, how do you get the timing back? that it takes you until February to get. And then you, in April, you got a different level of timing as you go into the playoffs. You can't get that for eight games. And I just think from listening to the guys I'm talking to, it's so hard. I talked to a couple of guys the other day, and I just said, this seems like this must be the hardest thing. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that they knew that going into the bubble. I think they realize that now that they're in and practicing and being tested every day.
Michael Wilbon joining us here on the morning show. Michael, changing gears here a little bit. What's going to happen with the latest in the NFL in Washington? Is this something where some checks are going to get cut and this is going to go away, or is it going to be something bigger than that?
Well, I know it ought to be done. When you have a team in the nation's capital that is this toxic, that has this much trouble just being decent, just being a decent organization, decently run, where you have 2 years ago, remember the New York Times, people forgotten about the story the New York Times uncovered about the cheerleaders being in tears about being asked to take topless photos and being escorts for an all-male party in Costa Rica. That's on Dan Snyder's watch. Then you've got the embarrassment this week alone of the team nickname, and that's not all him. He didn't institute the name, but he has certainly been an obstructionist and refused to understand or refused to even discuss it. Then you've got this new story about at least 15 women coming forward to say, yeah, here's what happened to me. And by the way, I talked to women that I know here in Washington who formerly worked for the Redskins, and they're like, of course, are you kidding me? It wouldn't have to stop at 15. And so how can you have this? How can you have this kind of environment, workplace environment, that you've been warned about just 2 years ago? And that, by the way, that's gated. That went way under the radar, way too far under the radar as far as I'm concerned. You got one problem after another. It's a product that stinks on the field. So competitively, the product is inferior. And now you have a workplace that's so toxic that people can't even go to work. We're not talking about Mad Men times behavior, 1960s. We're talking about 26 to 2019. Come on, 13 years of this? And nobody's surprised? Nobody here is going to get surprised. No one. No one is coming and say, oh, my God, I don't know how this happened. So to me, the question for the National Football League owners and executives, and I'm talking about now Park Avenue, is this what you want to partner with? He's got his own partners, Dan Snyder, including the title partner of the stadium, FedEx. The chairman of Federal Express, Fred Smith, has come out and said, I don't want to partner with this person any longer. Are you kidding me? This is good for business? So how is this different from people that have been shoved out? Okay, people can say, well, wait a minute. These accusations weren't leveled directly at him. But the notion that he, Dan Snyder, didn't know or he's not responsible. And by the way, he doesn't even think enough of the public to sit his butt in front of a microphone and speak. And this pertains to multiple owners in the NFL, including Jerry Jones. So they don't even give a damn enough about what is being asked of them to sit down publicly and take account, be accountable. All these guys want players to be accountable. They want coaches to be accountable. Dan Snyder trots out Ron Rivera, and before that, Doug Williams. He trots them out because what? Because he didn't have the guts to sit there and face the music.
Well, that's all covered, though, Mike. You know that. That's covered for him to be able to say, look, these guys are with me, you know.
But you know what? At some point, the public has to demand better.
Yeah, and
yes, you're right.
And what I want to
cover his ass.
And what I want to ask you is, not only do they demand better, we saw what happened, obviously, to Donald Sterling in the NBA. We saw what happened to Jerry Richardson in the NFL. He had some of the same sort of stuff going around him, whether it was lack of institutional control, racism, all of those sort of things.
can this happen to Daniel Snyder? Can enough momentum be built where people say, man, you know what? Y'all got to just get rid of this dude.
To me, we are at that question. And I haven't heard it asked enough. It wasn't asked enough on morning television and all the shows I'm watching. It wasn't asked enough. And you and I are asking the central question. That's the question. And I don't know the answer yet. My first inclination is to say no, but we have seen the winds of change have blown differently. And you mentioned the people that you mentioned. I mean, Jerry Richardson didn't have, like, previous episodes. The Redskins already, the Washington football franchise, excuse me, already had an episode in 2018. We're talking 2 years ago. And so is there enough momentum? Do people have the stones? Do other owners, are they going to pick up the phone, call each other and call the commissioner and say, this is bad for our image in the best interest of the business of the National Football League? Forget the morality part, which is by in and of itself enough or should be enough. This is bad for business. So is there going to be that? My inclination is to say no. But as you know, and as your question hit, you know, refers to, it's at least the dawning of a new day. If it's not an entirely new day, I'm still a little more skeptical than most about how new a day it is. But it appears to at least be the dawning of a new day. Who's gonna hold Daniel Snyder's feet to the fire in positions of authority?
Michael Wilbon joining us here. Michael, appreciate you coming on. Thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good, you guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right. There's a lot there right there, especially the idea of do the other 31 teams want him out? We'll pick that up on the other side on the morning show on 710 ESPN.